Morning. Today's daf Nedushin Nun Tes. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. As long as Zechen Nishmas Libe Gabriela Bashmuel. We should be beginning the third parak this morning. We have a little bit to do in terms of the second parak. So let's finish up the second parak, start the third parak, and get back to pace. First, the conclusion of the second parak. Nehma Ketanai, let us suggest that this is Machlokas Tanayim. As you remember, yesterday we talked about Tovat Sanah. The power of allocation, where when you have truma, you can determine who you're going to give it to. You have to give it away. It has to be a matana, but at the same time, the Torah doesn't tell you which coin to give it to, so you can make a determination. Which coin are you, in fact, you're going to give it to? So you'll decide, and that ability to decide, that power of decision and allocation, so that obviously has a value. Is that a real monetary value or no? So that was seemingly a machlokis yesterday. Ula says, Tova sana eino mamun. Ula's of the opinion that Tovas Anah is not considered Mammon. Other Amoraim in the Gemara agrees with the opinion of Ula. However, that's not the simple reading of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that if a man goes over to a woman, and the man's a Yisrael, and he has Truma, and he gives her Truma, so the Mishnah says the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. Why? In other words, it's not his. He has to give it away. When she receives it, it's not her. She also is going to have to give it away. So why? So ostensibly, the simple reading of the Mishnah is because it's Tova Sanah. Because even though the truma itself doesn't belong to the man, but the ability to decide who to give it to, that does belong to the man. And seemingly, the simple pshat in the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is talking about the Mishnah is assigning a value to that Tova Sanah, and that's why the Kedushin is going to be a valid Kedushin. So if you remember yesterday, Ula reread the Mishnah, Ula gave an Ukim to the Mishnah, and Ula deflected. So basically what we saw yesterday is a machlokus whether or not Tova Sanah is considered Mammon or it's not considered Mammon. Nehma Ketanai, so now the Gemara is going to suggest that this issue is subject to a machlokus Tanaim. Consider the following scenario. Hagonev Tivlo Shel Chaver. I go over to my friend's house. Yeah, some friend. I go over to my friend's house, and today, by the way, if you want a theme alert for today, the theme alert for today is some friend. Okay, you'll see. It's going to come up a bunch of times today. It's some friend. So anyway, so I go over to my friend and I steal his tevel, meaning produce that he didn't take off Shumas Amitzos yet. Now, I'm a ganav. So what does that mean? I got to make reimbursement, assuming that I want to do tshuva and I want to go back to him and make good, and I'm going to reimburse. So now, how much do I reimburse him? Now, consider the following. Of the tevel that I took from him, just for argument's sake, I'm going to throw out a number just so that we can have a discussion. 20% of it doesn't belong to him. Okay, 20% of it is trumas and maestros. Okay, we could quibble with the number, but let's not, because let's just have a conversation. So 20% of it doesn't belong to him because it's Trumas HaMaisos. So now I'm going to make a reimbursement. Do I have to make a reimbursement of the full 100%? Or do I say to the Nignav, look, I'm really sorry, I stole from you. But you know how much I stole from you? I stole 80% of it from you. I'm going to pay you back 80% of that which I stole. What about the other 20%? The other 20%, that needs to go to the Kohanim, to the Leviim. I'll deal with them. In other words, that's not for you. I'll deal with them.
What about the Chumash?
Huh? Not for Heshev Zegzela. For reimbursement, you don't add a chumash. Kefal, but kefal is only in the case where you were caught with the stolen goods. You're making restitution on that which you stole. So I go to Tivlo Shel Chaver Misham Lo Demei Tivlo Shel Chavero. So Divrei Rebbe. So according to Rebbe, so you have to make restitution. And you have to make full restitution according to Rebbe. Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Ein L'mashal Mel D'mei Chulin Shebo. And Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda says, no, you only pay D'mei Chulin. So now the Gemara says, what we have over here, seemingly exactly what we're debating. Meaning, everyone's in agreement, the 80%, you have, of course have to make reimbursement because that belongs to him. What about the other 20%? Do you have to reimburse that or not? Rebbe says you do, and Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda says you don't. So my love kamiflagim. Marsava Tova Sana Mammon or Marsava Tova Sana Ino Mammon. So one is of the opinion that Tova Sana is considered Mammon, the other one says that Tova Sana is not considered Mammon. Now, to be a little bit more sophisticated in this Gemara over here, when we say that you have Tova Sana in the Trumas HaMaisos, the Tova Sana can't be equivalent to the actual value of the Trumas HaMaisos, because in other words, yes, you have a power of allocation, and yes, it does have a value. But that assigned value cannot be the actual value of the produce. It's got to be something less than that. So the truth of the matter is that even when Rebbe says that you have to make full restitution, because the Trumas HaMaisos has to you a value of Tova Sanah, I it's hard to imagine that he means full restitution and dollar for dollar on the Trumas and Maestros. Probably means, although the Gemara doesn't say this, and I'm just adding a layer to the Gemara, probably means that he has to make a restitution commensurate to whatever the factored Tovas Anah value is. Anyway, but the Gemara says low. And what we're going to do now from this point going forward is give four other suggestions in terms of what the machlokas is over here between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef and Rebbe Yehuda. And basically, when we do, we're basically saying our first suggestion is not necessarily correct. Let's assume that, like Ula said, Tovas Anah is not Mammon. And the Gemara says, and the case over here is the following. You inherited this all this produce, meaning the tevel, from your maternal grandfather, and your maternal grandfather was a Kohen. And he died and he left this tevel. And now, you inherited it all. And when I say you inherited it all, so what is that issue over here is, did you even inherit the truma as well? Because remember, Grandpa was a Kohen. And so even though he didn't take off yet Trumas HaMaestros, so the issue which we discussed yesterday and we're going to discuss again very briefly right now, and that is that if there's latent Truma in the Tevel, is that considered his already? Or it's not considered his until he actually takes off Truma? Marsav HaKamisha HaMadamia, Marsav HaLav HaKamisha HaMadamia. The Gemara says that's exactly the machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef and Rebbe Yehuda. Whereas according to Rebbe, it belongs to the grandfather. Why? Because even though he didn't take it off, it's as if he took it off already. Masha'en Kim, Rebbe Yosef and Rebbe Yehuda disagrees. That is the second explanation of the machlokas. The Gemara says there's another way to explain the machlokas, and that's the following. Shmuel's of the opinion of the following. Even though there's a requirement to take off truma, even though there is a suggested amount that you should be giving off, somewhere around 2%, a 40th, a 50th, a 60th, somewhere around 2%. Nevertheless, that is recommendations made by the Chachamim. How much do you actually need to take off? The Torah never says, by Truma. And Shmuel teaches us, Chita Achas. You take off one kernel, that's it. That creates a patur on the rest of the produce. And so maybe over here, the Machlokas goes like this. Mar Islay de Shmuel, Mar Islay de Shmuel. Whether or not we subscribe to the opinion of Shmuel. Rebbe subscribes to Shmuel's opinion, and that means the following. The Nidnav can say to the Ganav, you're going to make full reimbursement. Meaning, you stole from me my tevel, and look, I know I should have been giving 2% to the Kohen, but those are recommended amounts. Truth of the matter is, I only need to give one kernel, and I'm good. So really, truth be told, is that it fundamentally belongs to me, all of it. Now, I understand, in this discussion, you got to ignore Meiser. And Rashi actually says that. Rashi says, right, Meiser, there's no adjustment. Meiser is 10%. So Rashi says over here that you have to ignore Meiser in order to have this discussion. And we are. We're ignoring Meiser. We're just having this discussion in the context of Truma. And the Gemara says, and that would be the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, whether you subscribe to Shita Shmuel or whether you don't. Fourth suggestion of the Gemara, by Sam de Kuleyama Les Lahu Dishmova Hainu Time of the Rebbe to Kansura Abanan Legana. Maybe in this fourth explanation of this machlokas, we don't subscribe to Shmuel. And over here, the question is the following question. Look, maybe the truth of the matter is the Ganav only needs to pay back 80%. Fundamentally. But the Chachamim look at the Ganav and say, you know what, you're a Ganav. Meaning, you stole. So, yeah, it's really... it's unfair that you stole and you only have to make reimbursement of 80%. Now, fundamentally, that's true because, again, the Trumas HaMaestros don't belong to the Nignav. They belong to the Kohanim and to the Levim. It's what we call in Halacha Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, meaning there's no one Kohen who can claim, but still, for the Ganav to only have to pay 80%, that's not right. So the Chachamim constant the Ganav, they penalize the Ganav and require the Ganav to pay back the full 100%. That would be the Shita of Rebbe. Whereas Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda is of the opinion, no, no Knas.
Wouldn't the Ganav have to pay a little more than 80%? The Tovas Anah?
Again, let's assume Tovas Anah is Eino Mammon. In this fourth explanation, Tovas Anah is not Mammon. Okay. Okay, and the Gemara says, and finally, maybe we could say like this. Everyone subscribes to Shmuel's viewpoint. And now, the truth of the matter is that really the ganav should be paying back the baal bayis 100%. Because remember, even though truma is recommended, but to give off 2%, but Shmuel says you only need to give off one kernel. So the truth of the matter is, from the perspective of the baal bayis, it all belongs to him, to the baal bayis. And really, the ganav should be making full restitution, 100% restitution. And over here, the Gemara says, but maybe this is the penalty to the baal bayis. Now, this is a funny way to explain the machlokas. Penalty to the baal bayis. What did he do wrong? Gemara says, I'll tell you what he did wrong. Because what does he have tevel lingering around his house? The halach is that once you have produce, and once that produce is ready for hafrashas trumas hamaisos, you need to take care of it right away. You shouldn't delay. Right? Zrizim makdimim lamitzvos. And so now, for the baal bayis standpoint, so he was lingering around, so therefore, as a knas to the baal bayis. Now, I know it's unusual. We normally don't penalize the victim. So this is a very unusual way to explain the machlokas, but the Gemara does.
And you incentivize the thief.
And you are, yeah, to a small degree, but yeah, it's hard to disagree. Okay? Yes, it's strange. And so the Gemara says, and that's the machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. What we have just covered now is a total of 5 different ways of explaining the machlokas of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, that when a ganav steals a tevel, does he have to make full reimbursement to the owner, or only the non-truma maestros reimbursement? And the Gemara give 5 different ways to explain this machlokas. Tanan and Mekash, Bechumas, and Vemaestros, and Matanas, Vemechatzve, Frapara, Hareze, Mekudeshes. A man is mekadesh a woman with trumas maisos, the matanas we described yesterday. Every animal that shechted, you have to give zor l'chai v'keva, portions of the animal to the kohen. Mechat, to say for parah, so the kedushin is a valid kedushin. Afapi Yisrael, and even though he's Yisrael. In other words, basically we just did is we re-quoted the Mishnah from yesterday. Urim minhu, and the Gemara says, but I'm going to challenge you from the following. Hanotel, if you were to take schar ladon, Din of Betalim. If you were to take wages to sit down and adjudicate, so the judgment is not a good judgment. Meaning, as a judge, you have to be impartial, and part of that impartiality is that you shouldn't get paid. Furthermore, judging is a mitzvah, and when doing a mitzvah, so you shouldn't be paid for doing a mitzvah. Ula hayde dusa betalim. If you get paid to testify, so your testimony is also going to be discarded. Because once you get paid to testify, so you're no longer providing objective information, you're providing information based on the fact that you got paid. Now, if you get paid to sprinkle the mechatas, then to be mekadesh with the mechatas, so then the water is considered like well water, like cistern water, and the afer is afer mikla, meaning it's just ashes. It has no validity whatsoever. So basically, you shouldn't be getting paid for doing these activities. So now, we seem to be at a small impasse over here. What we just learned together is that for the sprinkling, there can be no charges for those sprinkling. And now the Gemara says, what about our Mishnah? And our Mishnah, a man's being mekadesh a woman with mechatas, eferchatas. It shouldn't be getting any kind of reimbursement for that. Lokasha Amar Abaye, Lokasha, the Gemara, so Abaye gives an answer over here, kam bischar hava, milui, kam bischar haza v'kiddush. So Abaye says, we're going to strike the following distinction. If you are getting, if you're schlepping, so if you're doing any act of tircha, that is something that you can charge for. Rashi describes over here, second to last Rashi of our perek, milsa de tircha hi, it's an act of tircha, v'rachman lo ramya aleha, and that is not a mitzvah. V'shar le mishkal agra, and therefore you can receive wages for doing the schlepping. So in other words, for preparatory acts, hechsher mitzvahs, we would call them, for something like that you could charge, because that's not the actual mitzvah per se. Once you get to the actual mitzvah per se, so that's something you can't charge. So, dekanami diktani, the Gemara says, and we can be medayik, hachabem mechatos, veifarpar, veketani asam, lahazos, lakadish, mamina. Okay. And if you read the Mishnah carefully, you'll see this actually in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, bim mechatos, veifarpar. as opposed to the Braisa that says lehazos ulekadesh. So you see clearly that the Braisa is dealing with the actual mitzvah itself, as opposed to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about the preparatory acts before the actual mitzvah. Hajolachish Makadish, that is the end of the second parak of the Masechta. And now we begin the third parak. Third parak continues its discussion of Shlichus. If you remember the second parak taught us the basic principles of a Shlich and how a Shlich works by Kiddushin. Here we continue a trend of Shlichus and we open up with the first case. I told you, the theme alert for today is some friend. So in continuing with that theme alert, so we start now the third parak. Omer lechaver tzevek kadesh li isha. You go over to a friend and you say to your friend, look, there's a woman out there, I know her. Seems like an excellent woman. I'd like to marry her. So, do me a favor. I'm giving you the money. I'd like you to be mekadesh her for me. V'halach v'kisha la'atzmo. And so he goes and he meets this girl and he's taken by her and he says, you know, and he thinks for a moment and then he changes the entire strategy. Rather than being a shlech and being mekadesh her to his friend, so then he takes an opportunity and he's mekadesh her for himself. Mikudeshes, just give me a second. Mikudeshes l'sheni. So the kedushin is going to be valid with the second person, meaning it's good. It's a good kedushin. So let's assume, as far as the money is concerned, he did not use his friend's money, because then I would agree with you. Then he stole his money. So I'm going to assume in this case that he took his own money and it was mekadesh with her own money. In fact, we learned in the previous parak that you can't be mekadesh somebody with stolen money. That money doesn't belong to you. Good. So I'm going to assume that in the Mishnah. Now, obviously, we all smile as we read this Mishnah because, like I said in the beginning of the Mishnah, some friend, meaning not a nice guy. And I think, you know, without trying to be too judgmental, I think we can all say that's not nice. What he did is simply not nice. He was asked to be mekadesh this woman for his friend, and he turned around and he was mekadesh her for himself. Now, even after saying it's not nice, and the Gemara is going to talk about this. The Gemara is going to discuss very clearly, with very clear terms, that what he did was not right. But we're not talking about right and not. We're not right. In other words, we're not going to for the moment, we're not going to deal with the ethics of the issue. We're just going to deal with the effectiveness. It was a good kedushin with the second person. In fact, one has to wonder, not one, Tosfos, I'm just introducing Tosfos, one has to wonder, truth of the matter is that, really, what's a chiddush? Meaning, I understand it's not right. Right? I'm putting aside the ethics of it for the moment. And right now, we're just talking about the effectiveness. Truth of the matter is, with the second guy, of course the kedushin is going to be a good kedushin with the second guy. Second guy pops in, says, hi, I want to be mekadesh you. She says, yes. Okay, I understand. We all understand that the second guy was commissioned to act as a shliach, and he decided not to. Huh?
She must know that.
So Tosfos says, very good. So Tosfos says exactly what Phil said. Let's see the Tosfos inside. So Tosfos says, I don't understand. Aside from the ethic discussion, but the truth of the matter is, it's obvious. The truth of the matter is the second guy comes over to the woman and full disclosure, he says to her, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be really honest with you. I was acting as a shliach, but I like you. And I'd like to marry you. So now Tosfos says, now we have a chiddush. V'yesh lomar demari kegon d'amar shlech l'isha b'shas kedushin ploni shalchan l'kat sheikh lach. Uvesoch kach amar la harei ha-mekadesh etzli. And then in that discussion he says, but I like you and I'd like to marry you. V'hi yadot d'kisha l'nafshe. D'im lo kein lo haitza mekadesh etzlo. Now obviously it has to be clear when he's mekadesher that he's mekadesher for him and not for the one who sent him, especially after he just disclosed that he was being sent. Now we have a chiddush because consider the havamina. Now, even though he said the word li, we could interpret the word li meaning do it for me, meaning because I was told to do this. I'm the shliach, and this is what I'm here for. So that's a havamina, and kamash malan delo, and the chiddush is not no. Li means, yes, for my self-interest, but for my self-interest meaning
for me.
I'd like to marry you. Okay. Stay tuned, and the Gemara is going to have it's really great. I mean, it's important. It's such an important discussion. We're going to be discussing the ethics of this in the Gemara, meaning he was asked to do it, asked to be act as a shliach, and then he's acting out of self interest. And the Gemara is going to comment on the correctness of the moral underpinning of this of that which he did.
The moral is, if you want something, do it yourself.
Right. That is a good takeaway point from this whole discussion as well. I agree. Next case in the Mishnah. Now we're going to leave the world of shlichus. Well, it's like that first line of the Mishnah was like a carryover of the second parak, but that's it. Now we leave the world of shlichus, and now we have the following. A man goes over to a woman and says, I want to be mekadesh you, but for whatever reason, it's hard to understand what the motivation is, but I'm going to put a delay in the chalos. The maisa kedushin I'm going to do right now. I'm giving you the money right now, but the effectiveness of the kedushin is not going to take place until 30 days from now. For whatever reason, I get it. Right, but it is and it isn't. Meaning, I'll be honest. It's not a post-dated check because he's giving the physical money right now, but the effectiveness is not going to take place till 30 days from now. So first things first, let's just observe and say it out loud. You could do that. You could separate the money and the chalos. The Maisa Kedushin is now, and the chalos will take place later. I could have argued they are inseparable. You could have made that argument. The Mishnah is teaching us, no, you can actually separate the two. And now we could separate the Maisa and the Chalos. We're going to ask a lot of fun questions. I mean, fun for you and I, the observer. It's not going to be fun for the participants. So, but we're going to ask a lot of fun questions. So the Mishnah deals with the following. What if somebody comes in within that 30 days and says, hi, how are you? I'd like to be Mekadesh you. Mekudesh Shosheni. The Kedushin is going to be a valid Kedushin to the second one. Why? Because she's not yet married to the first guy. The first guy did the Maisa on day one, but the chalos does not take place until day 30, which means until day 30, she's not married to the first guy. Somebody comes in and intercepts and takes her during those 30 days, it works. The Kedushin is going to be valid. And then the Mishnah would just like to hammer the point that she is really married to the second guy. Bas Yisrael Kohen Tocha B'Truma. In fact, if she's a Bas Yisrael and the second man was a Kohen, she'd be allowed to eat Truma. Now, we've already gone over a number of times that you're not allowed to eat Truma during Erisin, and you have to wait till Nisuin, and we've gone over that point many times. The point simply being, and you can see the Tosfos Riazah can make this point as well, the point simply being right now is that they are married. They are fully married. And the Truma is just simply a way of illustrating how married they are. Yes, Midr Rabbanan, you're not allowed to eat the Truma at this point in time, but Mina Toriyo, she's allowed to eat Truma. They're married. Okay, now, let's say the man says something that is confusing to the woman. He says, I want to marry you now and after 30 days. So what just happened over here? Did he put a delay in the marriage? Well, it's unclear. He said the word me'achshav and he said la'achar shloshim yom. So he made a statement that is easily open to ambiguity. And then somebody comes along during those 30 days and is Mekadesh. Mekudesh v'ena Mekudeshes. So now to the second man, she is Mekudesh, she's also Eina Mekudesh. Because the first man was very unclear in terms of whether or not the marriage is taking effect immediately or only after 30 days. And once again, here, the Mishnah would like to express the ambiguity in the fact that if she is a Bas Yisrael and the second man's a Kohen, she cannot eat Truma because we don't know if she's married to the second man or not. We'll come back to all this later. We're going to go back to the first case of our Mishnah. First case of the Mishnah, some friend goes and is sent as a shliach and takes her for himself, and the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. The Gemara here quotes a brisa, so I'm going to make it very clear. It's not that the Gemara itself is commenting on it. Actually, it's a brisa, meaning the brisa is commenting on such an act of what the shliach did. Tana masha asui el shenahag bo minag ramaos. The man is a ramai. He's a deceiver. He's a trickster. Meaning, and basically, it's what the Brisa is doing is the Brisa is the Brisa is labeling the man who did this. Okay, it's what's it called? I'm thinking of the word. It's a condemnation, right? When they when they don't like what the president did, what do they do? What does Congress do? They impeach. Right. It's an impeachment. Right. Okay. So the so good. So the Brace is condemning this act. So it's not right, but it's effective. Okay. V'tana didan halach nami diktani halach beramos. And in fact, now that you know the Braisa, you look back at the Mishnah, and the truth of the matter is Rav Yehuda Hanasi encrypted this in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says halach. Halach over here means that he went, and we're going to read that into the Mishnah, halach beramos. That going was a going of deception. Meaning he had alternate plans, if you will, when he went in to meet with this woman.
It seems to me like she's a deceiver, because we said before that Tosha said that he told her So she's at fault,
well,
as much as he is.
Well, it could be, and we're going to see this later this morning. It could very well be that she just didn't want to accept the kedushin from the first guy. Yeah. The Gemara is going to say that later. I didn't. That wasn't my creativity. So yeah. In other words, when you're a Ramai, so now you're being condemned. Meaning, so is it something which is punishable? No. In other words, for being a Ramai, there's no punishment. There's no onish per se. But in other words, there's midos. Right? The Rambam opens up with this is how a person should behave. So what we're learning is you shouldn't behave this way. You can't put on the books what kind of actual corporal punishment you're going to receive. There's no corporal punishment. But in other words, you shouldn't.
No avera is done.
Huh?
No avera is done.
Meaning avera. Yeah. In other words, a person when you ask about an avera, meaning I'll tell you that a person should not behave this way. The Torah demands that we have to be refined in our character so that a person shouldn't behave this way. And now, after having said that, should he do that? The answer is no, he shouldn't do that.
How do you say the halach to Rav Morris? Maybe this by the way, I understand places, but when he meant that he decided it's not halach.
Okay, so the... but when he said it to her... I mean, the Gemara is assuming that he said it to her, this was not just a spur-of-the-moment decision. It was more like, you know, I'll check her out first. I mean, that's the halach of the... that's the way the Gemara assumes that the halach of the Mishnah works. Now, in a Mishnah that we saw a week and a half ago, back on Daf Nun, so we had a case where I say Homer l'shlucho. In our Mishnah, we say Homer l'chavero. Now, that's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, when he writes the Mishnah, he was writing very specifically. Why in our Mishnah would he write chavero? In the previous Mishnah, he said l'shlucho. So the Gemara says it's for very good reason. Hacha, we're in Nun Tes Amud Aleph for the second line down. Hacha Rebusa Kamash Malan v'Hasa Rebusa Kamash Malan. Chidushim in both Mishnayos. Hacha Rebusa Kamash Malan di Itan Shlucho. In our Mishnah, the word chaver was chosen very carefully because imagine he said the word shliach. Hava min shlucho ahu da have ramai the samcha daitain. Savar avar li shluchasi. You see, if he was a shliach, then we can easily understand ramai. Because I'm commissioning you to be my shliach. I'm calling you my shliach. And then he turns around and he says, you know, you're right. Even though I was asked to be a shliach, but look at her. And I'm going to marry her. And there easily can use the word ramai. Ava chavero, but chavero means the following. Do me a favor, right? Buddy. Do me a favor. There's a girl, and I want to marry her. And if you happen to be there, could you do me a favor? Could you marry her for me? So there, it wasn't the formal commissioning of him being my shliach. It was, do me a favor, buddy. And now, de lo samcha daite. So there, the mishaleach didn't think to himself, this is going to happen. I told him to do it. I gave him an instruction. No, I asked him as a friend. So now, Emalola Havi Ramai. I might have thought that the Ramai term, the condemnation shouldn't apply over here because I didn't tell him to do it. I suggested. Do it as a favor for me. And now he goes around and he takes it for himself. Maybe that's not a Ramai. So the Chiddush of our Mishnah is even that case is a Ramai. Hasam Rabusa Kamash Malan. Now, as far as the Mishnah over there on Daf Nun, there's a Chiddush there as well. The Itana Omer LaChaver, Hava Amina Chaveru Dechikach B'Makom Acher in the Mekudeshes. Now, what I should have done and I didn't do is just remind ourselves what that Mishnah was talking about. So let me do that right now. The Mishnah over there is talking about a scenario where I say I want you to be Mekarish a woman in such and such a place, and then my Shlech was Mekarish in another place. Good or no good? So the Mishnah over there, Machlokis, the Tanaim over there, but the Tanakhama says, no, you have to be Mekadisher in that place. So, now over there, the Chiddush is, I use the word Shliach, and I didn't say the word Chaver. And the Gemara goes on to explain, that's a Chiddush, and why? So now let's read the Gemara again. Hasan Rabusa Kamash Malan, Deitana Omer LaChaver, because over there, if I said the word Chaver, Hava Amina Chaveru Dechikash Mamakamacher in the Mekadesh, the Savar Lo Tarach. You see, I'm asking a friend to do me a favor. And I'm not charging him as a commission, and charging, I don't mean money, but I'm not demanding from him, I want you to be Mekadosher for me, as a formal shliach. There I can understand, he's just doing me a favor. So therefore, the Kedushin is only going to work in that location because I don't want him chasing after her, and looking, and hunting her down. Aval shluche de tarach, but over here, and now that we're using the word shliach, when I'm saying shliach, I'm basically sending you on a mission. So now, maybe the expectation is that he's not going to give up until he finds her, and even if he finds her in a different location, the kedushin is going to be a val kedushin. Ema mar makam hulo, and you could make the argument: I'm telling you where to look first, but if you need to go somewhere else to find her, so then you'll do it. Kamash malan, the chiddush is no. When I cite a location, I only want you to be mekadosh in that location, even if I'm asking the shliach to do it. Same thing. I only want the shliach to go into that particular location.
We had an indication where he was just saying he wasn't specific about where, what place, but he was suggesting that she may be there. And
right. That's what we said that earlier also. Meaning, if he's just telling her, and you'll find her there, so that's just simply a clue to where you could find her. Okay, well, three stories coming up in the Gemara. Each story gets better than the next. Okay, story number one. Ravin Chasida Azal Kedusha Le'Issa Le'Bre. Ravin Chasida goes and he's about to be Mekadish a girl, a woman, for his son. Kitcha L'Nafshe. But then he sees a woman and he says, you know what? Okay. Yeah. In other words, correct. My very good. My son is young. He'll have ample opportunity in life to marry somebody. So I'll take her for myself. Now, the Gemara says, wait one second. This is right, falling under our theme of today of some friend. All right, some father. Now, v'hatanya masha asa asui ela shenagbo min agramos. Now, the Gemara over here is challenging this story with the fact that, hey, what did we learn earlier this morning? We learned earlier this morning that you are condemned for doing so. It's effective, it works, but you're condemned. And we're talking about Rav Chasida, and we're going to assume that he's not only a good guy, he's an Amora. He wouldn't act this way. So the Gemara says, Lo yahavu ni'ale. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you have to understand more to the story over here. There's an important detail. And that is that this woman would not have married Ravin's son. She would have said no. I assume the Gemara is not guessing. I'm assuming that the Gemara, that he actually knew this information. He would not say yes to the son. Now, yibayle le'aduye. So the Gemara says, okay, but here's what the father then should have done. Before taking her as his own wife, he should have first gone back to his son, and he should have said to her, I'm really sorry, but I proposed the idea to her that she marry you, and she said no. I'm very sorry. And then he should, give me a moment. And then he should have gone back, and then he should have married her. You see, because by not going back to the son now, for the moment, for the time being, it gives off this sense of impropriety. And so the Gemara says, so that's what he should have done. Savar adahach v'achi asa inesh achrina mekadosh la. But the Gemara says, yeah, but he's concerned that if he were to go back home and to tell his son, somebody else would take advantage of the opportunity, and he did not want to miss this opportunity of not marrying somebody who he thought was that special. Okay, yes. You have to say that. In other words, because we know that the father is not empowered to marry off his son, so you'll say that the son gave him he's doing it as a shliach of the son.
So how
Avram
did it for his son?
So Avram did it for Yitzchak. So let's assume that Yitzchak was appointed Avraham to do so. Yeah, I mean, in the context of our Gemara, you have to say that. Okay, the Rishonim, the Rashi Tosfos over here don't discuss this, but the Rishonim over here are bothered are bothered by the question. You know, the Gemara, we saw this in the beginning of the Gemara in Sota. In other words, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted her to marry him, the father, it's going to happen. Right? In other words, the idea of Basharit. What we call Basharit. So the Gemara says, so the Rishonim say that's true, but even though there's an idea of Basharit, but first of all, remember, it's the father of, he's already a father, which means that he was already married once before. The Gemara in the beginning of Sota tells us that for Zivug Rishon, for the first Zivug, that's the Akash Baruch Hu has that all set up. But for the second marriage, for him it is, obviously, so that's not Min HaShamayim. In other words, that's, you know, that's more of an open playing field, if you will.
Wait, and it's also harder to find the shulah for the second marriage.
Yeah, that's true. That's also, okay, anyway, so Rabba Barbar Chana, story number two. Rabba Barbar Chana Yaiv Le Zuze Le Rav Amr Zavna Niale Lehai Ara. Rabba Barbar Chana gives money to Rav and says to Rav, look, I want you to buy for me a property. Okay, so now we're moving the conversation from marriage to the transaction and the acquisition of property. But you'll see thematically it's exactly the same. And so what happened is that Rav took the money and Rav goes and takes a look at the property, and let's assume again, because otherwise we're calling Rav a thief, Rav takes from his own money and Rav buys the property for himself. So even though he was asked to buy the property for somebody else, but after having looked at the property, he bought it for himself. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. Again, that's wrong, meaning you are condemned for doing so. So the Gemara says, "Baga di ilama hava le l'rav nagi be kavod l'rabba b'rachan lo nagi be kavod." And the Gemara gives an answer very similar to the answer that we saw previously, and that is that the land over here was owned by really rough people. Rashi describes them as, I quote the Rashi, "Bikasho bale zroa haisa." The people who owned the property were really strong people. And they're not going to allow just anybody to buy that property. So to Rav, who was the leader of the Jewish community in Bavel, so they would have sold him the property. But they would not have sold the property to Rabba Barbar Chana. And so therefore, Rav basically took advantage of the opportunity and said, look, it's a great property. They're not going to sell it to him anyway. So I'll buy it for myself. Now, he buy Leilo Duiz, same exchange that we had earlier. Shouldn't he have first gone back to Rabbi Bachan and told him? So the Gemara gives the same answer, no. Meaning, yes, in theory, it would have been great. And nowadays, we have this thing called, you know, texting. So you could just quickly send a text. But in the meantime, however, if you were to have gone back and report to him, they're not going to sell it to you. Somebody else is going to come along and take this opportunity. And he did not want to lose an opportunity. That's a great question. Just wait one second. I'm going to kind of answer your question with the third story, and now we have a third story. Rav Gittel hava mahakbech ba'i ara. Rav Gittel was investigating a land, looking to buy the land. Also Rabbi Abba Zavna, and Rabbi Abba comes along and he buys the land. While Rav Gittel was doing his due diligence on this piece of property, also Rav Gittel kibble le Rabbi Zera. So Rav Gittel goes and reports to Rabbi Zera. Okay, I know it sounds a little bit like Lashon Hara, but maybe he was just asking, consulting. Okay, whatever. We'll see. Hold on. So Kabbalah the Rabbi Zera. So he goes in and reports this matter to Rabbi Zera. Azul Rabbi Zera v'kibla the Rav Yitzchak Nafka, and Rabbi Zera then says, "That's interesting. You know what? That's an interesting discussion." And so I'm going to go take it to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. Amar le hamte nachiyale etzleinu lerego. And he says, "Well, let's wait till Yontif, because as Rashi explains, before Yontif, they would go visit the Rav, and as they were darshing in the halachas of Yontif, kisalik ashkeche, and so they go up and they're now they're visiting the Rebbe right before Yontif Amarlei, and now they're discussing this very issue, and now the Gemara puts this in the following terms: Ani mahapich b'chavara. Let's say you have a poor person, and he's rummaging around." For a piece of cake. Meaning that he has his eyes set on a particular piece of cake. And he's a poor person. And somebody comes along and somebody takes it while the poor person is looking at it and looking to take it. Amar le, and he gives very clear answer, Nikra Rasha. The second person who comes in and steps in while the first person is looking at it, looking to take it, so the second person is considered a Rasha. Vel amar my time avad hachi. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's exactly what you did. Meaning you did exactly what we're describing right now. You went ahead and you took property, you bought property that somebody else was doing due diligence on. So amrle lo hava yadana. So his answer is a very innocent answer. Oh, I didn't know. Meaning nobody told me. The seller didn't tell me that somebody else was investigating this property, so I simply didn't know. Hashanami nifna nihalemar. So now they ask him, okay. So they ask Rabbi Abba, well, you know Rav Gittel was looking at the property, and you went and you bought the property, so they say to Rabbi Abba, well, are you ready now to sell it to Rav Gittel? Amarle zavunala mizavninala. D'ara kamaisa hi. So Rav Gittel says, Rabbi Abba says, I'm not going to sell the property because we have the following mazel. This Gemara is so interesting on so many levels. The Gemara says, Rabbi Abba says, we know that the following is a siman tov. What's a siman tov? Buy the first property that you buy. First property that you buy is a siman tov. And selling that first property that you bought, that's siman ra. It's a bad sign. Now in general, how do we feel about omens? We're anti-omen. Although we do say siman tov pretty often for people who are so opposed to simanim. And in Rosh Hashanah also we do simanim. Okay, so we are, I guess we're a little bit confused about how we feel about simanim, but the my neighbor and real Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Flug, he wrote an article on what we're doing in Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, so the Arkamaisi he velo misamna milsa. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm just reading the Gemara, and that's all I need to do for now. And Rabbi Abba says, look, it's not a good siman to sell the first property that you bought, so I'm not going to sell it. But at the same time, I want to do the right thing. So here's what I want, here's what I'll do. Ibai b'matan nishkalei. I'll give it as a gift, meaning I'm not going to sell it because that's a bad siman. But you're right, Rav Gittel was looking at the property, and me coming in and swooping in and buying the property while someone else was looking at it, that's not right. I'll give it to Rav Gittel as a gift. So Rav Gittel onach his lot. Now Rav Gittel himself was concerned. He never walked onto that property. Why? Because the pasuk in Mishlei says that you cannot take gifts. You should be a person that does not accept gifts. And if you are, lo yichya, you're not going to live. Okay, that's a strong pasuk in Mishlei. But that's and Rabbi Abba took that pasuk super seriously, and therefore did not want to live on that property. And Rabbi Abba lo nitna la mishum de hapech ba. Now, in the same time, Rav Gittel didn't want to accept it as a gift. And even though it was given to him as a gift, he never walked on the property. Now, as far as Rabbi Abba is concerned, Rabbi Abba also never walked on that property because he bought the property while someone else was investigating it. So Rav Gittel, mishum de hapech ba Rav Gittel. And basically what happened, it was called the rabbi's land. It was called the rabbi's land, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Hefker LaTalmidim. Basically, the students know that what's going on with that property. No one lives in that property. Well, there's a great story behind that property. You want to hear the story? Sure. And then they tell over the story of Rav Gittel and Rabbi Abba, and basically who lived on there? The Talmidim basically use it as their dormitory, if you will. A little poetic license on my part. Okay. A really important discussion that I'll just raise very quickly, and that and huh?
Why Rav didn't do this?
Rav, what in the previous incident?
Yeah. At least Rav
No, no, no. In the previous incident, Rabbi Bar Chana wanted to buy the property, and they wouldn't sell to Rabbi Bar Chana.
After he bought it.
No, not after. In other words, even before he bought it. He knew that they wouldn't sell to Rabbi Bar Chana.
Oh, but they sold it to
him. Yeah, okay, good.
After he buys it, he can sell it back.
Yeah, but that wasn't disingenuous what he did. In other words, they told him we're not selling it to Rabbi Bar Chana. We're just not. So now he doesn't have to buy it on behalf of Rabbi Bar Chana. There's no need for that. He can buy it for himself. Here, while somebody's investigating the property, and presumably he's a real buyer of the property, someone comes in and swoops in and buys it in front of him. That's not right. Okay, really an important discussion over here, and that's the following. If you take a look at Rashi writes, "Ani masapich b'chavrara," right? The The analogy the Gemara gives is a poor person rummaging around looking for some cake. Mechazer acharel azakos ba min ahefker. Oshi inen lo balabais. Right? So Rashi over here says that right now, it could be that the ani is getting it from hefker. Meaning right now, nobody owns it. And the ani is coming in to get it. So Rashi says that's the case over here. Tosfos, the second Tosfos, the long one on the Amud, says that cannot possibly be. Tosfos cites a lot of Gemaras that says that cannot be. What cannot be? So if you take a look, I'm going to just cut right to Rabbeinu Tam, Omer Rabbeinu Tam. I'm doing the short version. Really, on your own today, you really should go through the Tosfos in its entirety. But I'm just going to skip to Va'omer Rabbeinu Tam. This prohibition that we're talking about in our Gemara over here, it's about 10 lines down in the Tosfos. Lo shayach ela davka kisherotza ha'ani la harviach b'schirus. O kisherotza liknos davar echa v'chaver o'maktim v'kona. V'hav yiduma derav gidol. In order to be in violation of our Gemara over here, we have to be talking about a buying opportunity, a profiting opportunity. And the reason why you're a Rasha, says the Rabbeinu Tam, is because what you're doing right now, you could do somewhere else. You want to buy a property, there are other properties in this world that doesn't have to be this property. And you go in and you intercept while somebody else is doing due diligence on this property, you're a Rasha. Because you could do it somewhere else. Aval im haisa hacharara dehefker leke iser. However, if this is a one-time opportunity, meaning if it's hefker, which means it's this or nothing. So now, according to Rabbi Netam, leke iser. Shim lo zacha bezos lo yimsa acheres. Because if I don't get this one, there's no other opportunity. So there, if it's a one-time opportunity and there's nothing that will substitute for this, so then says Rabbeinu Tam, you got to take advantage of that opportunity, and even if it means that you're going to intercept somebody else, so you may in fact do so. So really an important discussion between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam in terms of when we apply this label of being a Rasha, when you're intercepting somebody else is looking at something and you come in and you intercept. According to Rashi, the label of Rasha is a more encompassing application. According to Rabbeinu Tam, no. It is limited only to a circumstance in which you don't have to do business here. You could just as easily do business somewhere else. And you're coming and you're intercepting somebody else, that's not right. However, if it's something like Hefker, which there is a one-time opportunity, so then you can come in and you can actually intercept somebody else. And this machlok between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam leads to so many interesting discussions. For example, at the end of the Tosfos, he has the following discussion. Let's say that somebody hires a Malamed to teach his kids. And another Malamed comes knocking on the door. So what is that? What is this more analogous to? Is this more analogous to the case of Hefker? Is it more analogous to the case of you could just as easily do business somewhere else? And obviously,
it's not so easy to get the job as a Malamed.
And really now with this distinction of Rabbeinu Tam, so now you get halacha guidance, but basically at least now you know according to Rabbeinu Tam, the operative question is, could you easily do this somewhere else, or is this a one-time opportunity? Okay, stop over here.